that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around.
Hey, good morning. It's time once again for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good morning. It's Saturday, May 12th. Join us, won't you? You got a minute? Pour you a cup of coffee and go pick up your Bible and join us. We'll be back right after this.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Lord, we just come to you this morning humbly and ask for your Holy Spirit guidance and direction through our thoughts and our words, our tongues, Lord. We just ask you to be with all the saints out there. Just let them know in their heart, Lord, that you're watching over them. We know that you're there for us if we do not forsake you. And again, I just ask you to be with us this morning and thank you for this opportunity to talk and have fellowship and just be your servants. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thankfully I don't think I've even read a newspaper this week, so I don't know what's going on in the world as far as by the world standards. And what little bit of the Fox News or some of the news places I've looked on the website, I haven't seen anything really worth even reading into or repeating. So anything important going on in the world this week, guys, that you want to bring up?
Yeah, there was something encouraging that happened this week. A pastor in North Carolina stood up, and I guess it was last Sunday, preached a sermon somewhere along the lines of something our pastor would have preached. But basically he says, you need to build a large fence and put the lesbians in there 100-mile long, and then he says, and then on the other side, you build another large fence, 100-mile long, for the gays and the queers, and he says, then you need to electrify that fence, fly over with a helicopter and drop food in now and then, and in a couple years, they'll all die. You know why? Because they can't reproduce. But he's getting
taken
to the woodshed over that, but apparently he did the same thing back. He started this church in 78, preached something similar to that in 78. So we'll see how he holds up. Keep him in our prayers.
It's amazing how people don't want to hear the truth of God.
Nope.
They don't. They don't want to read their Bibles, and they're more than happy just to accept what the world says about the Bible, says about Jesus, even though the Bible says that the world and those of the world hate him.
Yep, live and let live. That's what I hear. And I'm like, they're like, oh, well, what do you care what they do behind the privacy of their own doors or whatever? And I said, yeah, that's the problem. Because we didn't, that's where we're at now.
Amen.
Sin will continue to multiply until you stomp it out.
Amen to that. Well, Jason, how are things down at the print shop?
Oh, they're doing well, real well. It's just interesting. You know, it seems like these, you know, the terrors are sticking their heads up higher and higher, and there's more of a separation. You look at any of the news, anywhere you look, you can see just the hypocrisy and how they're perverting so much justice in the land, or there is no justice in the land.
Yeah.
Just down here in Denver recently, you know, it was a big deal several months ago, because there was a drunk police officer driving a car 143 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, and he lost his job over that. You know, they have supposed to have real strict regulations as far as things like that are concerned, and then they turn around and they just come up yesterday and they give him his job back. They said that was cruel and unjust punishment, and they're not charging him with anything. And it's just, you know, the hypocrisy of how you can see how much is of this stuff is going on right now. There's people that they're above the law, and it's like the law don't apply to them. And it's just, they're making more of a distinction between them and us. And they're coming out just boldly and brazenly saying the law does not apply to us. The law is for you. The law is not for us.
Yeah,
and
you
they
can,
try to
you
impose,
can bet.
And these are the same ones that are imposing more laws and more laws, and they want more statutes, and they want more legislation. And at the same time, they're saying, this is for you. This is not for us.
You can bet that.
It's kind of interesting to see it.
You can bet that officer, Jason, had something on somebody higher up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the thing. They're all in corruption, and they all have things on each other, so it gives them a free pass because they're living the same life.
Well, and that's a good word. They're corruption, and they are living a life of corruption. And this so-called government is so corrupt. You know, there's nothing in it about justice. You know, it's supposed to be, they call it a justice system, but it's actually an unjust system.
It's the exact opposite of what they say it is.
Yes.
Well, here's the woe for them, Jason. Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and yet yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. And that's exactly what they are.
And I was speaking with an attorney from Denver on the phone this weekend. This guy, he calls up and talk about just arrogant, no good. They want you to cooperate with them, but they don't want to cooperate with you. And it's just, I mean, they have this power that they are puffed up, so-called power that they think that they have, where they should be superior and better than anybody else. And it's obvious that there's more of these distinctions being made. You know, it's wheat and it's tares, it's sons of light versus sons of darkness, it's good versus evil. And I think that there's more people that are starting to see these distinctions as we go into the times that we're going into.
Yep. I'd agree.
You know, and that's what we've got to be aware of. We've got to start thinking of biblical terminology. you know, tares and wheat, sons of light versus sons of darkness, good, evil, and start making the distinctions, because there ain't no in between. There's the ones on the right, there's the ones on the left. There's ones that are Christians and there's ones that aren't.
Sheep and the goats.
Exactly.
Well, you look at what we got in the so-called Supreme Court. Don't meet God's qualifications. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
What do you expect?
They call it a Supreme Court. We have the access to the Supreme Court. They don't.
Yep. And they better realize, too, that one day they're going to be judged by the Supreme Counselor.
Yeah, exactly. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And it's just, that's what I try to encourage people, to get back to the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, if they want liberty, that's where it's at. And that's the only place it's at. You're not going to have it any other way, because the Bible is the truth.
Amen. You have people that they claim to love Jesus. Oh, yes, we love Jesus. But what does the Bible say? If you love him, you will keep his commandments, keep his word,
right,
keep his law. And the people just want, those at least that claim to love Jesus, to be Christians, the majority of them are in word only. You know, with their lips they praise him, but their heart, what they do and what they don't do, is far from him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've been preaching a lot lately, and basically I keep telling people, I say, there's no way out of this thing except for 2 Chronicles 7:14. When my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
Well, can they just seek his face and not humble him? Though that's what a lot of people are having the problem with.
Yeah,
right, because I'm
wicked ways.
Right, because I'm busy, and you know, I'm you know, it's Memorial Day weekend. We're taking the, you know, four wheelers out, and we've seen hundreds of those driving by the last day or two. And I'm just kind of busy this week.
The humility aspect of it.
Right.
You know, they don't want to humble themselves.
No.
Because humbling yourself is admitting that you're wrong. And humbling yourself and repentance is turning the other direction, is turning away, is a change. And people still want to do it their way.
It's a form of repentance, yeah, humbling yourself. You're right, exactly.
And when you humble yourself, you repent. You say, I'm not going to do it my way any longer. I'm going to do it his way. Don't understand it? You don't have to understand it. Well, I just don't understand. No, you don't have to. It's part of obedience. When a person's obedient, that is a form of humbling yourself.
It is. It is. When you realize that you don't have it all figured out. You know, those self-made men out there. No. That's a lie. But they like to believe the lie.
I think a lot of times, you know, our Heavenly Father, he made us in our Adam man in his image, and you know, he has his word, he has his laws, he has his ordinances that he's given to his people. And I get sometimes a little irritated with these people that they want to, well, why does he want this or why does he want that? You know, he wants us to do this. Well, why do we have to start the Sabbath on at this time? Or why do we have to keep this? Because he says so.
Right.
Sometimes there ain't anything else you need to know about it. It's an act of obedience. I think our Heavenly Father is pleased when we don't need to understand, when we don't need to ask why, when we just say, okay, yes, sir. You're the boss. That's what you want. That's what we'll do.
Can't you just hear the pastor now, Jason, saying, I don't know. Why did he make you such an idiot?
Just because.
Another term, too, that you guys have, you know, haven't thrown out there for humbleness, for repentance, is crucifying self. You know, it says, they that are Christ, you know, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's what people don't want to do. And that's when liberty comes back, is when you as a people, you know, first it starts with individuals, you know, and then it gets bigger and groups, and then, you know, and it can work its way through the church, and then it can work its way through the communities. But that's when you get liberty back, is when you start walking and living in the Spirit, you know. But you got to crucify flesh first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where that, or when, that peace that surpasses all understanding can come in. When you know that He's in control, when you're walking and living by faith, obeying His Word, because that's what His Word says to do. And you've heard it before here, but it might start before, but really the majority of it starts with baptism. Because as Acts 2:38 says, that's where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift of the Holy Spirit is like putting your glasses on. And then you can see what the Word says. And then the more you look into the Word, the more understanding, I guess would be the word, that you have from the Bible. But it's like the people not wanting to repent, not wanting to do it His way. They don't want to come, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and humble themselves. They just want to, I go down to the Baptist church, and we got a good godly preacher down there, and he tells it like it is, brother. He tells it like it is. And that's what the people want.
Yeah.
Itching ears.
Itching ears.
I was reading Proverbs 4:4-5, and it says, "Then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth.'" A lot of good teaching.
How's that for a Wednesday night prayer meeting scripture? Keep my commandments and live.
That's what I'm thinking I'm going to put up on that big Ten Commandments thing I'm putting up at the kids' Christian school. I think I like that scripture. You guys taking a drink of coffee or what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't had time to read much of the news this week, but there's a couple of blogs that I like to go to occasionally, and it was kind of interesting. One of them was, "Scientists say eating organic food makes you a jerk." And talked about how had all these people, all these scientists that work for these different companies, they put together a study, and that they came out there, the conclusion of their scientific study was, eating organic food makes you a jerk.
Well, I can understand that to a point, but I kind of think a lot of jerks eat organic food. But
they must be talking about the granola heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the vegetarians. Especially the
vegetarian. I mean, you walk through Whole Foods and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, you think the one up here is bad. You try walking through the one in Boulder.
Well, yeah, and you know, there's a few Trader Joe's type stores in Portland, and boy, I mean, it's you want
to
stay out of
Boulder.
There.
Yeah. I try to avoid Boulder like the plague. Unfortunately, that plague has moved towards Fort Collins. I mean, it was a different city here 20 years ago, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's leaven, you know, leaven in the land, and it's just like a lump of dough. You know, I mean.
Yeah, in a way, though, we, the watchmen, have fallen asleep, you know?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's like that guy in North Carolina you're saying, at least he's trying to, you know, put a stop to the leaven, put a stop to the
right.
Sin. You know what I mean? I have no idea what he believes on anything else, but if he's against sin, then I'm at least agreeing with him on that side. Yeah.
Right. Like Ezekiel says, "Son of man, I've appointed you watchmen over the house of Israel." Well, we've failed at that.
Yeah, we had a call last night on the radio, and it was I'm not even sure what's going on up there, but it was up in the northeast somewhere, and they were talking about some woman that's trying to get all this mandatory vaccination stuff passed up there. And, I guess it's hard to find out what is going on as far as this vaccination thing, because they've got it broke down into states, and I think it's getting to the point where it's getting so susceptible to society that it's not getting much resistance. And, last night we had prayer against this woman and prayer for the people, because these vaccinations are something that right now is what's going on with these, is it's a form of population control. And people need to wake up to what is going on there. If you look at, I posted on our SFAW news blog today, there was a story about the nonprofit organizations using vaccines to control Africa's population. Well, what makes you think that it's any different here?
Right. It's a rule of war that the enemy has to tell you what they're doing or what they've done or what they want to do. And if they're putting out that, these nonprofits are using vaccines for population control in Africa, you can bet your boots and throw in your spurs that somebody's doing it here as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're the same vaccinations that are being used over here. It's the same vaccine manufacturers that are putting the same garbage in it, the heavy metals in it. And, where's the outcry on that?
There's not, because Budweiser's on sale down at Safeway right now. And that's all the people seem to be be concerned about. They don't see that how many more children's hospitals, just in the last 5 or 6 years, haven't they built 2 new children's hospitals down on the Front Range?
Yeah.
Seems like I've seen them.
Well, think about it, too. Not only are they using it for population control, they use it for a source of revenue. Because if they make
absolutely.
Our people sick, they make a killing on them in money. Make sure
there's
you got good
book.
Insurance.
I haven't read this one, but I heard it just came out, and it's on the, I think it's entitled, Why Doctors Don't Vaccinate Their Own Kids. And,
right.
You know, they don't. And I've pinned some of those dirty doctors down and said, if this was your child, would you give it this vaccination? And I've had some of them, most of them, tell me no, I would not. And then I've had other ones that just lied to me.
Yeah.
Like you say, Jason, they think they're above the law, too, you know.
Exactly.
They try to make these laws, and then they exclude themselves, just like Congress tries to pass this Obamacare, but they exclude themselves, you know. They're above the peasants.
Well, and they've talked, and it comes in spurts, too, it comes in waves, I guess would be a good way to put it. Back in when they had the bird flu, they were pushing this. We might have to go to a mandatory vaccination program. And they wasn't a real big push, but it was a pretty good push. And then they come up with this swine flu, and they have a swine flu push, and boy, they're really talking about mandatory vaccinations then. And,
yeah,
you know, they got to talking and working on some legislature, and, you know, we're not sure how bad it's going to be, but, you know, it might be, you know, just time for that. Well, you can bet your boots that the next wave, they're going to be pushing even harder, because that's what they do. They steal, they kill, they destroy, and they don't give up. They are militant sons of hell, and they come in waves, and every wave gets a little bit stronger. I remember when the bird flu, when they were pushing this mandatory vaccination bird flu, I remember the pastor on the radio saying, yeah, they want to come, and they want to give me a shot with some heavy metal in their shot. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm shooting first, and I'm going to be giving them a shot of heavy metal, and it's called lead, and it'll be coming from a .357 Magnum.
I remember.
And
that.
I remember, you know, just even with this last swine flu, there was all these people that were concerned. Well, if they make it mandatory, and come door to door and grab you and take you and give you the vaccine, you know, what can we do to neutralize it? And that was what everybody was, well, not everybody, but there was quite a few people that were jumped on that bandwagon. Well, we got to do this, and we got to do that. And it's just sad that we're to the point where we're even talking about, you know, what are we going to do if that happens? How about not letting it happen?
Well, they only want one eye, Jason.
One eye, one nut, you know, don't matter.
Speaking of Budweiser, kind of interesting. No, I mean, Luke's playing soccer, and there's a field over there where they play most of their games. But, man, you drive by that Budweiser place, I'm telling you what, they got their own weigh station there with, like, six check-in stations for trucks in and out. And there's trucks lined up on the side roads and all the way into the plant, just waiting to get checked in, waiting for their time to get in, unload, and get out. Unbelievable how busy Budweiser is.
Yeah, they say the beer industry does good in good times because people, you know, when people have jobs and they're working and they have money to spend, they buy beer and drink beer. And the beer industry does good in bad times because when people lose their jobs and all that, they still go get beer.
Yeah.
Well, and it's sad to see what people are going to. I noticed that just down here in LaPorte, there's a liquor store down the road, and in the morning when they open at 9 or 10 o'clock, I don't know what time it is, there's a line of people waiting to go in there. And
really?
Wow. Oh, yeah. And it's just, I mean, it's sad to see where people turn in. But you look around and you look at everything in society, if people don't have Christ, what do they have to turn to?
It's true.
They don't have any hope.
No.
I mean,
talking to a contractor.
They can put it in, you know, this government, but I think that for most people, they're starting to realize that it's hopeless.
Talking to a contractor this yesterday when I was working, and they're like, well, what are you doing this weekend? And I said, oh, I got to do some studying for this family Christian retreat we're going to, and got church on Sunday, and it's my daughter's birthday. And, oh, speaking of which, happy birthday, Richard.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you and your daughter tomorrow.
Yeah, and happy birthday, Tessa, today, too.
Happy
Jason's
birthday,
wife.
Tessa, right.
But anyways, I lost my train of thought there. Where was I?
Talking about the contractor and what you're telling him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I go, what do you got planned? Oh, I'm just going to get drunk. You know, two out of three. Oh, I'm just going to get drunk. And I'm like, ay, ay, ay. I said, you know, the Bible says you're not supposed to get drunk. He said, well, don't you drink? And I said, well, yeah, I have a beer now and then or a glass of wine or something, but I don't drink till I'm drunk.
Yeah, people don't seem to, again, we said it earlier, they don't want to read their Bible, you know?
No, they don't.
The Bible's got some real simple principles, you know, in all things moderation. Neither a drunkard nor a sluggard be. But you can bet your boots, that's, like you said, that Budweiser plant, they're rolling 24/7. And out here, you know, we're right between town and interstate and a recreation area up in the mountains. And boy, the vehicles with the campers and the four-wheelers and the motorcycles and the sand rail buggies and all that have just been, you can hardly pull out on the road up here. And yeah. It's all one way, heading up. And you can rest assured that they've stopped in town and they've loaded up the coolers. And no consideration.
Well, I'm sure they stopped by and paid their tithes and all that before they put their toys first.
They didn't stop here, that's for sure. They didn't stop here. You know, I saw
Like Dad says, there's no shortage of things to do besides go to church on Sunday.
Right.
And, you know, with the way the churches are, you can't blame them. But that doesn't mean that they're not shouldn't be in their Bible and searching for the Word. And the problem is that what's easier, just to jump on your quad or your boat and forget about the world for a day or get into the Word.
And John, just like you were talking to your contractor friend, and he asked if you have a drink every now and then, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with jumping on the quad or taking the boat out or you know, having a day of recreation. Or a couple days of recreation and fun with the family.
Yep.
But it all should be in perspective. And I just can't, you know, when I see all these vehicles going by, just hundreds of them, I just don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling. Well, they, you know, those people have done just like you said. They've gone and, you know, this is the only weekend they're not going to be in church. Or, you know, they're worshiping God. No, they're out worshiping the creation. Is what they're doing. instead of the Creator.
That is what they're doing, is they're worshiping themselves. Whatever feels good to them, they're doing it.
Right.
Well, it's an issue of the heart. You know, not only where the abundance of your heart is, there your mouth speaketh, which, like John heard that guy, the contractor, say, but it's, you know, it's what you do. You know, it's your own priority list. Mm-hmm. And just to be frank, I mean, there's times where I like to get away with my own little selfish thoughts. You know, man, I don't feel like stressing about that today. So I'm going to get in my own little world. You know, it happens way less now than it used to, but man, I mean, it's like, I don't want that today. I'm going to keep it out of my mind. But basically what it is just what Jason said. You're your own God. You know, today I'm going to put me first. Mm-hmm. You know, and with some it's every day. You know, and some of it's 75% of the days, some 60, you know. But you find out, though, the closer you get to God, the less days you have like that, because your heart changes. Yeah. And the abundance of your heart is different. You know, all of a sudden, you feel like talking about different things. You feel like walking more in the Spirit. And I think it all goes back to your heart, you know, which affects the rest of your body.
Well said.
I didn't mean to hush everybody.
No, it was very well said.
I think it's like it says in 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Yeah.
And that's definitely
where we're at today. You see an awful lot of that going on, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, and the rest of us, lovers of anything but God.
Lovers of self. Envious, covetous, boastful, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy.
Pretty much describes America.
Yeah. And it describes the Hebrew, the Israelite people, all throughout history. God blesses them.
You can look at the scripture, too, and you can just see, you can see what in the end, at the end of an age, at the end times, men will become. But you can also look at it and say, okay, this is what I don't want to do. This is what I don't want to be.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't want to be a lover of self. You don't want to be covetous. You don't want to be a boaster, a blasphemer.
And I think the other thing you can see in that, Jason, if people have eyes to see, is that it says in the last days that's what will happen, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Yep. That's happening now, isn't it? I mean, it's all around us. It didn't just start happening today or yesterday. It's been happening. You look at the government that we have. Tell me they have not been lovers of self for years, for generations now, looking out for number one. Hooray for me, the heck with you. And we've been experiencing those things. And so if the people cannot see that this is the end of an age, this is the last days of this age, they need to be ready. They need to recognize that and be ready. Jesus is talking in Mark 4. He's explaining the parable of the sower and the soil, about, some of the seed falls on the rocky soil and some of it falls here and then some falls on good ground. And it says in Mark 4:10, as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables. Those that are outside. And then he finishes up the verse, or finishes this, and I think he quotes Isaiah here. So that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, Jason, you were talking about they earlier. They might return and be forgiven. Now, there's some that if he gave them understanding, they might return and be forgiven. And he doesn't want that to happen. That's that they.
Well, and a lot of that is for the purpose of God to work. I mean, it's like when he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Every time Moses would come to him, Jason was talking about this the other day down at the print shop, and every time Moses would come to him, Pharaoh's heart would start to be softened. God would harden it, and And it's the same type of deal. When Christ was here, he spoke in parables, so certain people wouldn't repent because the purpose of God had to be done. You know, I mean, and it's about kind of a manifestation of the light. You know, because I mean, it's like leaving a certain part of your enemies alive so you can learn war. You know, I mean, if you're going to be the light to the world, if there's no darkness, what are you going to be the light to? I mean, it's all for the purpose of God and glorifying Jesus Christ. I mean, but, you know, with that said, that doesn't mean do nothing. That means do something, you know, to be proven, you know, to be manifested that you are one of His. You know?
It goes on a little further here, Mark, I think, that ties right in with that. In 21, he says, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it, or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. And what reveals that's hidden?
Light.
Light. The light of Christ.
I think of going hunting or camping or something, and it's dark out, and you drank too much coffee that day. So you head out. You know, you need a flashlight. And when you have a flashlight, and you turn it on, it reveals what's going on in the dark. You know, I mean, and some of the stuff ain't good.
Right.
Or how about a dad who, you know, their child's at a party, or maybe they had the party, you know. All of a sudden there's a few kids missing. You know, it's dark out. There's cars out there. He goes out with his flashlight and he starts trying to find these missing kids. You know, maybe one's a boy, maybe one's a girl, because he wants that light to find out what's going on in the dark. You know, and that's our job as Christians. That's how you walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. You know, and not just, I'm in the Spirit, and then shut your door and not care what's going on around you.
Right. Take your light and put it under the basket to where it doesn't shine out.
Turn out the light. The party's over. You know, and for some, there's going to be a time where it's too late. There's that light, and it'll be there. And there's a time to repent, there's a time to turn from your sins, there's a time to seek the light, but then there's a time where that light's going to turn to fire.
Yeah.
And yep. It's coming across this land, so you better heed the signs.
You know,
it's like an oil lamp. If you turn it up, it turns to fire, you know.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Kind of interesting.
Can burn hot.
Yep.
With intent,
and it'll burn the wick up too.
Amen. You know, we talk about sometimes. Well, I've read the book, and we win in the end. Well, we've already won. We've already won. We won over 2,000 years ago when Christ went to the cross for us, and He overcame death, and He took our sins and our sicknesses—not just our sins, but our sicknesses and our diseases as well—when He went to that cross. So we don't have to bear them. But if you do turn to the end of the word, the end of the book, Revelation 22, it's just what you said, Jason. The final message, and he said to me, do not seal up in 22:10. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. And that's right where we're at. You read that in 2 Timothy, Jason. These days are upon us. The time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. And the one who is filthy still be filthy. And so, yeah, there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to repent. You're not going to be able to say, well, I know I lived my life and ignored God all my life, but now that I'm retired and got my pension and got my money, now I'll start going to church. Now I'll start doing this and that. Nope. That time is near. You who do wrong, you're going to still do wrong. And you who are filthy, you're going to still be filthy. But there's another part of that scripture. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. That's that doing, isn't it, Kyle?
It is.
That's that doing. Not just coming to church or even just joining us on Sundays on church and taking your communion and then your light's under the basket the rest of the week, but practicing righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy.
Yeah, and another word for practice in some verses, I don't know about in that particular verse, but is exercise. And you know what happens when you exercise bodily. The more you do, the more you can do. the more you feel like doing, the more you want to do. I mean, and that's
and sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it makes you sore, and sometimes it makes you tired.
And sometimes it's painful, and no pain, no gain, right?
Right.
I mean, we all know
That's right. Yep, I got a 3-mile walk scheduled at 9 o'clock to stay in with the fire department, you know, and with a pack. And you just have to do it. You have to do it. But it's always better after. It's like, you know, when the alarm goes off at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. Oh, Saturday morning. You know, I've done this all week. Can't you just sleep in? No. That's the sacrifice he wants is obedience. You get up and you practice, you exercise, but you practice that righteousness.
We had a good teacher.
Amen. Amen. You know, right or wrong.
Well, what's going on with this? Anybody know what's going on with this faggot legislation?
The last I heard in Colorado was that it was. They sent it to committee, and that was it. It was gone for now because I think they're out for the summer, aren't they?
Yeah, they're recessed. So I'm not sure if that works. Like when they reconvene back in the spring, does that mean that they're for the fall? Will that what happens?
Reconvene? Yeah, that's exactly what they're threatening is that in November they'll vote out at least one Republican. Member of the House and get that other vote that they need. So, you know, you think about this is the world, but to me it's like we should be forming a petition like North Carolina did to ban gay marriage. I don't know what that takes, but
I was wondering the same thing. What does something like that take? Does anybody have any idea?
I think it's just a petition and you have to circulate it.
You have to get so many signatures on it, probably, then.
And yeah,
and I think you have to have a sponsor. And I think you have to have a sponsor in, you know, either the House or the Senate to present it.
Well, what you need to do is find out what North Carolina did.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Like I say, the states that make it difficult and the more roadblocks, the better. At some point, them stinking queers are just going to get tired of fighting and go to the states that welcome homosexuals. And Lord, if you're listening, I just pray that Colorado ain't one of them, or Wyoming.
Amen. Yep, it sure is interesting times.
Yeah, if you look at the seen, we lost, but you got to look at the unseen. And
in the unseen, we got hope, you know, that hope and faith and, you know, assurance.
Yep.
I think that's what the Gideon elite, they did all along. They were looking at the unseen. They were looking in their peripheral vision, and they weren't they saw things different than what other people saw. They saw things different. They saw a broader spectrum. They saw other things that were going around that nobody else saw.
Right.
And that's what made them a Gideon soldier. That's what made them be able to stay in when those cuts, and the Lord came in and cut that army from 30,000 to 3,000 and from 3,000 down to 300.
Yeah, a thing we need to remember too is we pray that the Lord would trim the vine here over the winter, and then we hear that, oh, you know, so-and-so isn't coming to Branson, or so-and-so is falling away or whatever, and then we say, wow, I wonder why. I can't understand that. And it's like, you know, you just prayed that God would trim the vine, and then when he does, you wonder why.
Amen.
So instead of wondering why, just pray that God continues to open the eyes, remove the scales from his people, give them eyes to see and ears to hear, and draw them
to the truth. Or how about
thanking
him?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
I mean, it's, you know, you pray for that vine to be pruned, and when the Lord prunes the vine, then you get all disappointed about it. It's
right.
Like, no, okay, isn't this what you just asked me to do? Don't you
exactly
want that new growth, you know?
And when he prunes it, how can you argue?
Well, I didn't know he was going to prune them. I thought he was going to prune that
right
guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
How can you argue with it when God does it? You know, when you have people that, like the instance of Branson, that just, you know, well, I got this, or I got that, or they just don't register. You know, or they just stop coming to church. Or, you know, for the last years and years, we've heard from them, and, oh, they called all the time, and we talked to them, and they were just, oh, on fire for the Lord. They were that, you know, seemingly to be anyway.
Yeah.
But then they just
fall away.
You talk
about obedience.
But then they just fall away. They're just gone. Yeah.
You talk about obedience, right? Well, let me tell you something, anybody who's listening. Jason, Richard, Kyle, and myself. We're not doing this for the money. We do it out of obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we do it out of obedience and honor to our late pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, there are those, you know, we've said it before. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter what you say. It's what you do. By their fruits, you shall know them. Right? Thorns can't produce figs. Thorns can't produce good fruit. By their fruit, you shall know them. And so, if you know somebody out there that claims to be a Christian, oh, I love the Lord, I this, I tithe, I go to church, I do this, I do that, but their fruits are rotten, what are you going to believe? You either believe what they say, which is a lie, or you believe their fruit. The biblical principle, by their fruits you shall know them. There are those out there that say, Lord, Lord. And, you know, he says, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. And they can put up a front for years and years and years, but it's by their fruit. By their fruit you shall know them. And so, you know, John's right. We're here doing this because we love Jesus Christ. And he says, if you love him, keep his word. We keep his word. We do the best we can at that. And we're here because we loved our departed pastor. We all loved Pastor Peters. And still do.
We still love him.
And still do. And the way we honor him is the same way we honor Christ. Is we follow the instructions he left.
Amen.
And if we do that, we honor him. And we prove by our works, by our actions, by our deeds, that we, by our fruit, that we do love him.
Yeah.
Now, there are those out there that have fallen away that might have said, oh, yes, Jesus, I love you. Or they might have said, oh, yes, Pastor, we love you. And we yes, you are. Oh, yes, absolutely. Where are they now? They've fallen away. They've fallen away because, one, they didn't love him, and they don't love him.
Yeah, notice this too, though. When the pastor gave us his final thoughts of how he saw things going from here on, if God chose to take him, then we don't sit here and have a committee and think, well, we know better than what he wanted. We follow his final wishes to the letter of the law, period. No more and no less.
Because we knew that he knew better than we did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But as here in Revelations 3:15 says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, you know what? That's a lesson to us as a people, as the remnant, Christian Israel. And those of you who are lukewarm, we would rather that you would be removed from the vine because you hinder the power of God in a ministry that's trying to be hot for Jesus Christ against sin. So if you support the enemy, we'd just as soon you leave because you're just hindering what we're trying to do.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree, man?
Yes,
I would. Well, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, you guys don't care, before we run out of time. Kind of sums up today's show to me, anyway. It's in Ephesians 5, 8 through 15. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Amen.
Well, and before we run out of time, I just want to pray for our Branson gathering and for the remnant that we'll be traveling to there.
Yes.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you and we lift this gathering up. We pray for your Holy Spirit to discern on who you want there, Father, and we just ask that you keep all the ones that you don't want there, keep them away. Only the ones that you handpick, that you choose, are the ones that we want to be able to there to assemble with us in Branson. And we just ask for a hedge of protection around that
yes.
gathering, a shield of light, a ring of fire. And we call for your Holy Spirit to be present. We want that music that we're going to be singing to be sweet and pleasing to your ears, the prayers that are offered up to be perfect before your throne, Father. And we just ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon that gathering, that you guide and direct every one of the people that are bringing a message there, and that you just let everything come together perfectly to your glory, to your praise. Oh, Father, we ask that you be with those, the families, and those that are traveling to that gathering. I know that there's a lot of spiritual attack going on, trying to keep people away from Branson, trying to hinder it. And right now, we take the authority and the power which is ours, and we rebuke these demonic
yes.
forces from the saints. And we call for them to be bound, bundled, and escorted to your feet. Oh, Father, deal with them as you see fit, but not see to it that they don't hinder our people from attending the gathering, those that you want there. We call for it to be done, and we claim it, and we claim the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. And we do come against any of the Antichrist forces that would come against this meeting. Oh, we come against them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We hold up that shield of faith. They're using fiery darts. They're using fiery missiles. Well, we know that they're powerless. We hold up that shield of faith, which you give us as full armor of God, and we extinguish them.
Yes.
And we declare them powerless over us. And we ask, Father, that you deal with them justly, that you deal with them righteously, as you see fit, Father, but bring a judgment down upon them. We call for it to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we do pray for the people that own that hotel and that conference room, Lord. We ask for your protection to be upon them, that you would give that shield of faith that Jason prayed, Lord, that you would let it be around them as well. Lord, let their eyes be open to the truth of your word, the truth of who we are. Lord, we thank you for them. We do ask that you would strengthen them, that your blessings would be upon them, Lord. They've worked with us. They've been a blessing to us through you, Lord. We know all blessings come from you, and we thank you for the blessing you've given us through them. So we ask for your protection, your grace and mercy, and your blessings to be poured out upon them as well, as we gather in Branson, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Another drink of coffee, huh?
Yeah, I'm actually out. Last drink for me. We will, before we run out of time, invite you also to church tomorrow. You can come to church the same way you listen to us right here, whether it's on shortwave or on internet. If you want to watch church and you have a good internet connection, you can just go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org. Scripturesforamerica.org at 10 a.m. Mountain Time tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, and click on the live video stream. And join us for church. 10 o'clock, we'll have a scriptural insight and study. And then we'll have some good music. We'll have a communion service. And then, about the top of the hour, about 11 o'clock, we'll have a sermon message from our pastor. So, we remind you not to forsake the assembly as much as possible. And through the modern technology, we're able to help you not forsake the assembly, where you can join us on Sunday mornings.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I think this show was kind of edifying to me.
Yeah, it was. Holy Spirit was leading. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
So, somebody got the prayer handy there? We could read that.
Nope.
I don't have it here.
Well, we're about out of time. And we've got one of the pastor's favorite songs to go out with. So we do thank all of you for joining us. We'll give you our address again. Maybe you're just tuning in by the letters and emails we get. We have new people every week that say, I just heard you on shortwave. I just found you on the internet. Wow. It's good to hear truth being put out. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. If you want to send an email, you can send it to preacher@sfaw.org. If you go to the website, you can also send an email there, either the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org, or the network website, where a complete broadcast schedule can be seen for every day of the week. And that is sfawbn.com. sfawbn.com. Thanks for joining us, men. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move about, head them off, move about.